thankful for each one that has come out this afternoon. And I understand we had a big meal and a good meal. And now I'm hoping you don't go to sleep on me. A few nights ago, I talked to you about God's light. And you know what? If you ever want to have something to be thankful for, you can look around you and see. You know, it says the wicked, God is not in all of his thoughts. He just doesn't spend much time thinking about God or what he's done. There's another verse that says, blessed are the pure in heart. They see God in everything around us. So I was thinking the other night about God when he said, let there be light. He didn't even have the sun for 3 days. Just his word caused there to be light. We're serving that same kind of God today. Not only did he do natural light, but he allowed there to be spiritual light given to people. You know, it's a miracle from God that I'm able to benefit from both of those. You know, I was thinking of a verse over here in John 3 and 19. I'd like to start with this verse. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. You know, we see that all around us today. Evil is abounding. Men loving darkness rather than light. But I'm glad it didn't stop there. It says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I was thinking about the light sources, and it made me think of something else. You know, it really does not matter the natural sun. It's beautiful today. You know, that's because I've got eyesight to see it. It wouldn't benefit me much at all if I didn't have eyesight. So for a little bit today, I would like for us to think about, you know, God provided light. He said, let there be light. But you know what? Physically and spiritually, I need eyesight to be able to see. I'd like to look first at the natural and how important it is. You know, in school we heard about the five senses. What are they? Taste, touch, sight, hearing, smelling. You know, you start looking at some of those things and then you think about that verse over in Psalms 139. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. What God did when he brought us into existence from a pile of dirt. You know, there are a lot of times when people make a brand new model of a car, they will have a recall. You know what? I put all these things together. I did my very best, but I didn't realize. I've heard it as simple as this. Accelerator has been sticking on this model of car. We're going to have to do a recall on it. Something is wrong. We cannot figure out what it is. And you know, after they did extensive research on it, they found that it was the floor mat. The floor mat could slip up. They didn't know it to where it could be. And just with the right conditions, that floor mat could slip up and cause the gas pedal to stick. You know, God never had to do a recall. When he made us, it has worked perfectly since then. I was reading this about eyesight, natural eyesight. It said sight is considered the most important of all those senses. More of the brain is dedicated to sight than to all the other senses combined. More brain activity is given to our eyesight, and you think about why that is. My hand, you know, what I see, and it, we take it for granted. When we drive here to meeting and we see a green light, a yellow light, or a red light, I mean, it should say something to us. And we should respond. It tells my foot to go to the accelerator or to the brake. Things that we just take for granted. But I was thinking about this. This is just basic. It says light enters our pupil and it's focused on the retina in the back of the eye. We're talking about physical eyesight. It says the retina converts the light signal into electrical impulses. The optic nerve then carries those impulses to the brain where signals are processed. And we never think a thing about it when it's all working well. But you know, one day we don't think about it until something happens and goes wrong. A few years ago, I had some heart problem, and I realized that at that same time, my left eye, when I would be looking at maybe a line in the floor or something, that if it was out of my side vision, it was a straight line, but in the middle of my vision, it would droop down and come back up again. And I thought, you know what, I probably need to have my glasses updated. I need better glasses. Well, there's an optometrist in the building where I work. So I told her, can you check my eyes? I think I need better glasses. She said, well, let me take a look. You know what? It is amazing what they're able to tell now. So she took a picture of my eye, and immediately she said, I can see what the problem is. Have you ever seen a picture of an eye and what all it takes for it to function? She said, here, I'll just show you what your problem is. She said, your eye is full of blood vessels. And you know what? If you took the finest point red pen, you could not hardly draw a vein as small as those blood vessels are that's in your eye. And she said, okay, take a look at this one. And I could see the red line going across in the back of my eye. But in the middle of it, she said, that blood vessel has burst. And I could see the little pool of blood where that vessel had burst. And she said, you'll have to have surgery to clear that. And she told me, she said, okay, see this thing coming off the back of your eye there? That's the optic nerve that is going up to the brain. You know what all that did to me? It said, wow, what a mighty God we serve. I never thought about how it goes from my eye to my brain and tells me what to do. But you know what? God just made us to be able to take care of that. The things that we do, just talking about the natural, the spiritual is much more important. But to just be able to think with my natural eye, how important it is for it to be able to work right. And then at the end of the article that I was reading that gave all this, it told us this. It said, we take vision for granted, but our eyes are one of the most amazing feats of evolution. Now, come on. So my eye just evolved. It started out as something else and slowly worked till it's this. You know what? It wasn't evolution. It was a great God in heaven that created our body, gave us the ability to have vision, and how important that vision, natural vision, is. But there's something else I want to tell you. Natural vision is not the most important. We've been hearing about Fanny Crosby, blind from the time she was a little girl. Never saw sunlight. You might think, well, that's a miserable existence. But she got a hope to the other form of light that God had available. He's got it available for us that have regular eyesight also. But she said something. Later on in her years, after God had worked with her, you know, it was saying that she wrote 8,000 songs. She's blind. She can't even write down the song that is being given to her by God. But she said that there was times when as much as 12 songs were being processed in her mind at the same time. You know what God did for her was when she didn't have eyesight, He enhanced some of her other abilities. You know, I can't remember two things at once, hardly. But she can remember these parts of the song and this part of this song and this part until someone could come by with an ink pen and start writing it down for her and the songs that she gave us. Spiritual vision is very important for us. And I want to look at a verse over in Ephesians 1 and 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You know, that's not my natural eyes to be able to see something, but it's the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, Jesus had a mission, and one of those things was that he could cause men to recover their sight. They could have it back again. Bartimaeus was one of those. You know, we don't read very much about Bartimaeus. Just kind of he comes through in a few verses, and as far as I know, we never read about him again. But there was something that happened. Not only did he receive natural vision again, but it closed out his little story saying he followed Jesus in the way. So maybe his spiritual vision was also opened up. Something more than just healing of the eyes was important, but that there was another vision that was opened for him. You remember also the man that was blind from his birth, to the point that the disciples said, "Lord, tell us, who sinned? Was it him? Was it his parents? Who did it?" And Jesus said, "No, this was done so that I could be glorified. God could be glorified in this." And he healed him. And you remember the Pharisees? Pharisees had good natural vision, but they also thought they had very good spiritual vision. But you know what? They were the ones that gave him the most trouble about his healing. They were the ones that said, "Hey, we understand that you're healed. Give God the glory, because we know that Jesus is a sinner." You remember this man, this blind man, he didn't know very much. He said, "I tell you, I don't know about all those things. What I do know is I was blind a while ago, and now I see." And you remember they would come back to him about three times and say, "Okay, tell us your story again. We want to hear your story again." And that seemed to impress him, to where about the third time he said, "Oh," he said, "you want me to tell it again? Maybe you're wanting to be Jesus' followers." Well, that wasn't why they wanted to hear it the third time, and they threw him out. But you know, he went to Jesus, he met up with Jesus, and I'd like to look at that for a little bit in John, in the 9th chapter, because you know, he didn't know who Jesus was, he just knew his eyesight had come back. But in the 9th chapter, 28th verse, "Then they reviled him, and they said, Thou art his disciple, we are Moses' disciple." And it goes on down, the man answered, 30th verse, "And said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. And we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth." You know, this blind man, now he's got his sight, and you can almost see his spiritual eyesight starting to get clearer. "Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." Next verse, they cast him out. 35th verse, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said to him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped them. Jesus said, "For judgment I'm come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." He was talking about spiritual vision, that those people that can see with their natural eyes, but yet cannot discern spiritual things. You remember there was a letter that was sent to the church of the Laodiceans in Revelations in the 3rd chapter. Because when I start taking a look at spiritual vision, I have to be real careful, because it says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. It's easy for me when I judge myself to say everything is fine. And that happened with this church. In Revelations 3 and 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They weren't blind with their physical eyesight, but it was the spiritual eyesight that Jesus realized they were blind with. But he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And then he gives them something to do. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. A cure for spiritual eyesight problems. Drawing closer to the Lord. You know, a lot of the parables that Jesus spoke, the disciples asked him, why do you talk to them in parables? Because he said, seeing, they see not. They're able to see with their natural eyes, but the spiritual eyesight is not good. I desire for myself, I'm thankful for the natural eyesight. But you know, I don't want that to be the only eyesight that I have. I want to be able to have spiritual vision. Because we have heard through this meeting about troubles that can come into our life, and I don't want them. I would like to make heaven my home with everything having gone very well in my life. But you know what? I'm going to need some spiritual vision. Because you take a look at Paul and all the things that happened in his life. He had a list of them. How many times he was shipwrecked. How many times he was beaten. You know what? It would be easy for one of those to cause me some problems. But he went through all those things and it didn't affect his spiritual eyesight. He said, none of these things move me. But here's what he was able to see. I'd like to look at this because I believe it can be a help to me. 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter and in the 16th verse. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. You know what? The things that are seen, it says they're temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal. That the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened to realize, you know what, this trouble that is in my life today could possibly be my ticket to heaven if I will submit to it. And I look at it as a trouble that I want gone yesterday. I want it to be gone. There is a song that we sing. It's number 284. I'd like for us to sing this because we will face this verse, the 4th verse.
The waves around may fiercely roll, they can not harm my trusting soul. Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. The darkest night and brazen sky are pierced by faith's unfailing eye. My cry shall be till time shall cease. Oh, blessed Lord, my faith increase.
Spiritual vision. The darkest night, the brazen sky, they're pierced with vision, faith's unfailing eye. The troubles that come into my life, that I would be able to recognize them with spiritual vision. We have heard in the meeting, it's over in 2 Kings in the 6th chapter, where Elisha has close contact with God. Close enough contact that he's able to tell the king what the Syrians' plans are more than once. To the point that the Syrian captain asked his men, tell me, which one of us is given this news? And I don't know how it happened, but they understood what was happening. They said, none of us are doing it. But there's a man of God over there. He hears what you're saying in your bedchamber. You know what? You're going to have to do something about that. So they did. They surrounded the city. And the next morning, the servant woke up, and he saw what was really there. He saw that they were surrounded by the enemy. And he sees there's no help for us. And so he tells Elisha. And Elisha seems unconcerned with what he sees with his natural eyes. And he tells the Lord, Lord, open his eyes. Now, he didn't go out there in his sleep. He didn't go out there with his eyes closed. He saw what was really there. But what Elisha was saying was, Lord, we got two different things we're dealing with here. I can either see what's happening with my physical eyes, and many times I do, and it seems like, how can anything help with this problem? But instead, what Elisha was asking was, Lord, open the eyes of his understanding. Help me over here by faith to be able to see how big God is up against this other. And you know what? It became very small. Because what the servant saw then was chariots of fire come from God. And you remember how that story ended? Elisha was able to walk up to that army and say, I tell you what, I can lead you to the man that you want. Well, they're all blind, so they're willing to be led. And he did not lie to them. He was in front of them, walking them all the way. He was leading them to himself. And then he brought them inside the city where they closed the gates. And you remember the leader of that city said, okay, Elisha, what do? We kill them? We go ahead and kill them all? He said, no, don't kill them. He said, feed them and send them home. Now, you think that made an impression on those men when their eyesight came back and they realized where they were? We're surrounded now. Our life is in their hands. And then they hear, oh no, set up a banquet for them. Feed them and let them go home. Apparently they never forgot it, because you look at the end of that one, so they didn't never come back and bother them again. That group didn't. You know, a lot of times in my life, I will see something and I see how big it is. But I want my spiritual understanding to be what is enlightened. That I'll be able to, you remember the song that sometimes has been sung, when compared to God, everything's small. You know what? If I don't compare it to God, sometimes that thing can just get bigger and bigger, because it's something that I need to take care of. But when I will be able to have spiritual vision and understand how big God is compared to this problem, it's no comparison. He can take care of any of it. We're going to all be going to different places in just a few hours. Tomorrow, we'll be back, some of us back on our jobs. Different things will be happening. I pray that when we have a big trouble hit us and we cannot figure out what is the solution for it, that we will remember Elisha's prayer. Yes. Lord, open their eyes. Help them to be able to see how big God is up against any one of these troubles. There is one more verse, Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and the 18th verse. I kind of see this as a prayer, my prayer to God. Open thou mine eyes. I need to see some things. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, there's a verse over here, 119 and 10 and 11. With my whole heart I've sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Lord, open my eyes so I'll be able to behold wondrous things in your law. That's spiritual understanding. That's spiritual vision. Lord, help me to desire it more than anything else. I'm thankful for natural vision. But you know what? I am thankful also for the testimony that Fanny Crosby gave us. You know, she had this testimony up in her life. If perfect vision were offered to me tomorrow, I would not accept it. Now, wait a minute. I'd accept it yesterday. No, you know what? Her spiritual understanding had been opened so much that she was able to see, well, she could recognize that any day that 12 songs are being processed in her head, God is working mightily. And she said, if perfect vision were given back to me tomorrow, I am afraid that I would start being consumed with the things that I could see with my natural eyes and lose the advantage of what I see with my spiritual eyes. What a testimony. I'd like to be able to do both, but I'd like to be able to let my spiritual vision become greater. We sang that song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. There was one time I was blind, but now I see. That person probably had physical vision all the time, but he realized spiritually there was a time when I was blind, but thank God that I'm able to see today. Yes. As we all go from here, thank God for the natural, but also let's ask the Lord to enhance the eyes of my understanding, that I be able to see a little more clearly what God's wanting to do in my life. Maybe I can't understand it all, but it's the eyes of faith to be able to recognize He has a purpose. As I get older, and I see how easily I could lose my soul, I say, Lord, put in my path the things that would give me the best opportunity to make heaven my home. And then give me spiritual vision to be able to believe that you're doing that for me. How does that encourage you?